Glory to you, Lord, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Good morning. Did you ever play Follow the Leader when you were growing up? I usually played it outside with neighborhood friends. In fact, I liked it best when we were in a field with trees and bushes, so if we fell on dirt. Now, to play Follow the Leader, someone becomes the leader or head of the line. Then everyone lines up behind the leader. The leader then starts leading everyone, making moves like holding out their arms and jumping, or climbing through or around a tree. And everyone behind the leader has to mimic the actions of the leader, twisting and jumping, doing whatever the leader has just done. Any player who messes up and does not do what the leader does is out of the game. The last person standing other than the leader is now the new leader. And everyone would line up behind the new leader and would continue playing. It seems Elisha, in the first reading from Kings, wanted to do just that. Follow the leader, Elijah. Elisha, the younger of the two men, wanted to follow Elijah, even though Elijah said to him, "Stay here. This is as far as you are going with me." But Elisha kept pressing. "As the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will not leave you." He acted almost like a little brother that wants to be with the big kids and nags until he gets his way. And Elisha was so successful in his persistence that as they came to the end of their destination, Elijah said to Elisha, "What could I do for you?" Elisha wanted a double share of his spirit, because Elisha knew that Elijah was getting ready to leave this world. Elijah must have been like a John Wooden type of coach. And Elisha hoped to be like him when he grew up. But Elijah cautioned, "You have asked a hard thing." Now, how many times have we wanted something, had a goal in mind, a plan, a vision for our place in the world, and friends might have warned us, "Do you realize how difficult that will be?" And even though we, like Elisha, might be warned that our goals are truly going to be a challenge, we go after them anyway, don't we? And that is what Elisha did. He followed the leader. So when Elijah was taken up, he copied the actions of Elijah, taking his mantle and striking the water just as Elijah had done. And there the water parted. Elisha had been determined. His persistence and faith paid off. We see in today's gospel the challenge to play Follow the Leader. But to follow the actions of Jesus is more than a game of copycat. The Christian version of Follow the Leader includes playing the game of life with the Spirit of Jesus. Elisha knew he needed the Spirit of Elijah. And Jesus knew his followers would need his Spirit to be able to become the new leaders in line. So our gospel begins with Jesus being persistent on going to Jerusalem. He is committed, even though danger waits. He had been warned. But his determination was based on doing what he had come to do, to follow God's lead, to obey God's will, and bring salvation to humankind, to all of us, to each of us in the pews. Jesus played follow the leader like no other. God was more than a leader. He knew God as a parent, a daddy, and followed with every ounce of his life. Thus, the challenge. Jesus wanted that same passion in his would-be followers. So no wonder Jesus sounded a little bit harsh and heartless in today's gospel when he said, "Let the dead bury the dead." And no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. To play follow the leader with Jesus meant to get in line. The game is starting now. There are three little stories in this gospel. The first and third story, the game players volunteer to follow Jesus. In the second, Jesus calls the would-be disciple, saying, "Follow me." The second and third would-be disciples ask to leave and take care of other priorities before beginning their discipleship. Don't we sometimes do the same? We have a goal, a plan, a need, and want to get our ducks lined up in a row. Maybe go to the bank and get some more money, get some clothes washed, get the house cleaned, get a few last emails sent. Then we will catch up, get going, start off on the trip, the degree program, or whatever. Yet Jesus seemed to want these volunteers to drop everything and just start following the leader, Jesus. Scholars point out some cultural considerations. In the Middle East at the time of Jesus, looking after the needs of a living father until his death and burial was accepted. But in this case, it could also have been a stall tactic to avoid the challenges of discipleship. Likewise, another Middle Eastern custom was to say farewell, to take leave of a family. The person who was leaving requested permission to leave from those who were staying. Haven't you seen or experienced for yourself that to follow your heart sometimes puts you at odds with your family? Thus, a son or daughter, or grandson or granddaughter, might run off to Las Vegas and get married. If a woman like me, you might leave the Roman Catholic Church so you can become a priest in the Episcopal Church. If a young man, you might leave home to join the armed forces or foreign services because you want to grow up and serve your country. There are moments when a choice needs to be made, and Jesus was challenging his would-be followers to not take the easy way out. So who was, is Jesus to demand such extreme devotion of us? The Bible describes Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. I think you are in church today because you believe this or want to grow in this belief. If Jesus was truly the Son of God, if he really did come to save us, then we really do need to follow the leader, Jesus, and offer him the best of who we are. If he is not the Son of God, we owe him nothing. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said, would not be a great moral teacher. He'd either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he has poached an egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. Those are very challenging words. But C.S. Lewis believed Jesus was the Son of God with all his heart and lived his life for him. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I try to live my life for him. Do I fail at times? Absolutely. But that is where the Spirit of the resurrected Jesus comes in. He died for us so we could share in his Spirit, live in his Spirit, be strengthened by his Spirit at the worst of times. When we are sick in bed, or facing the most difficult of decisions, or hoping for relief in a desperate situation, it is the Spirit of Jesus that is praying in our darkest moments. Elisha wanted a share in the spirit of Elijah, but it is the Spirit of Jesus that has the power to save us from ourselves. That is the power to make choices beyond our comfort zones. Jesus saved the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. For years, they tried to quit their addiction on their own. But when they each had had their own unique religious or spiritual experience, then they were saved from drinking. Bill Wilson, one of the co-founders of AA, had prayed for God's help and finally got it. He said, "In that moment, I knew the addiction was broken, that I was a free man, maybe for the first time in my whole life." Jesus has been saving people for 21 centuries. Jesus has been saving people, not just from alcohol, drugs, and addictions, but from our weaknesses. Jesus has always been in the business of saving people from whatever is their greatest weakness, whether darkness or fear, oppression, and bringing us into a right relationship with God and one another. So Jesus asks us to be single-minded about following him. For instance, if you were in a car accident and a paramedic was hovering over you, wouldn't you want that paramedic to be single-minded about saving your life and not thinking about what he was going to do this weekend? Today's readings are about character, about attitude, about the desire to answer what it takes to follow the leader, Jesus. The readings were challenging, but the yes to Jesus is a yes into the life and spirit of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the joy of Jesus, the power of Jesus. It is more than the game, follow the leader. So to the man who made excuses in the gospel, Jesus simply said, "Go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Jesus knows our excuses and calls us anyway. So let us become single-minded as best we can and share with others who and what Jesus means to us. The kingdom of God that Jesus needs us to proclaim is that God loves each of us and wants us to do the same. Let us live joyfully in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of love, and witness by our lives that the Spirit of Jesus lives in us. Amen.